Matthew chapter 20, we continue our study in the parables of Jesus. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1, and I want to preach a message to you this morning that I've entitled, Show Me the Money. A movie came out a few years ago that they've been showing on TV, where Tom Cruise played an agent for athletes. And I believe it was Cuba Gooding Jr., who was an athlete, a receiver for a pro football team. And he kept saying, show me the money. Get me a bigger contract. And he compared himself to other athletes and thought he was worth more. And so the whole movie is him trying to get his agent to get him the big contract, the big money. And I remember here a few weeks ago, Brett Favre, the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, talking about football players that wanted the big contract and would hold out and not come to camp. And he said they ought to be happy that they're part of the team. And, of course, one commentator said, well, that's easy for him to say. Look at his salary. But the reason I've entitled this message, Show Me the Money, is because there are many today in the Church of Jesus Christ and in the Kingdom of God who ask the question, what's in it for me if I follow Christ? What am I going to get out of this? And then there are others who are disciples of Jesus Christ that are just happy to be on the team. Peter had just asked Jesus a very important question before he relayed this parable to Peter. The rich young ruler had walked away because Jesus said that if he really wanted to be his disciple, he needed to give up all of his riches and follow him. And the Bible says he went away sad. Jesus was simply trying to show him that he was not righteous according to the law, even though he thought he was. And then Peter asked the question. He said, Lord, what's in it for us? We've given up everything that we have. What are we going to get out of it? And Jesus says, you're going to receive 100-fold everything that you gave up. The people that you gave up in your life, you're going to receive 100-fold. The things that you gave up, you're going to receive 100-fold for following me. And then I believe that he relays this parable because he's warning Peter and other disciples that this what's in it for me attitude is detrimental to us in the kingdom of heaven, which is a kingdom that is run not on the economy of merits and what we deserve, but on the economy of grace. That's what this parable is all about. A parable of a man who owns a vineyard and operates a vineyard and calls out workers throughout the day to work in the vineyard. And in the very end, he does the unthinkable. He pays those who have not worked very long the same thing that he pays those who have labored all day. Listen to what he says in verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also go into the vineyard and whatever is right I'll give you. So they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us, who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things, or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Father, in Jesus' name I pray that you'll help us to see ourselves within the words of this parable that Jesus gave. Help us to be honest with ourselves. Help us to see, Lord, that Your kingdom operates on the principle of grace, and open our hearts to this grace that You might pour out more grace upon us for Your glory and for Your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. What group are you in this morning? Are you happy to be on the team, or are you saying to God, show me the money? Give me what I have coming to me. I think we can identify ourselves just by looking through this parable and what takes place. This really wasn't an uncommon scene. Usually in the month of September, those who owned and operated a vineyard would try to get the crop in as soon as they could before the rainy season came. And they would hire people who had come to the marketplace, day laborers. They're day laborers today, and they were day laborers in this day. They were really less fortunate than slaves, because at least a slave was tied to a household, and if that household was prosperous and they could eat, then the slave would prosper along with the family that he was tied to. But the day laborer had no stability. He would just present himself in the marketplace hoping that someone would need him so that he could earn a day's wage and at least for that day feed his family. They're in a very pitiful plight, even worse than a slave. And so we see this owner of a vineyard ready to get the crop in before the rainy season, going out to the marketplace to hire men to help his servants to bring in the crop. And the Bible says he goes out early. He goes out and calls workers early. This means literally the break of dawn. Probably 6 o'clock in the morning he goes out to hire laborers, and he agrees with this first group of laborers to pay them a denarius a day, which was a day's wage. It was fair pay. And he sent them out into the vineyard. And then he comes out again the third hour. That's 9 o'clock in the morning, and he gathers other workers that he sees standing in the marketplace and asks them why they're not working, and it's because no one has called them. And so he sends them out into the vineyard, but he does something different with them, and this is the point of the calling of the workers. He does something different with them than he does with the first laborers. He doesn't make any contract with them. He simply says, go out and go to work, and I'll give you what's just and I'll give you what's fair. What he was asking these workers to do was to trust him. Just trust me. Go out and work and just trust that I'm a man of my word, and I'll be just and I'll be fair with you, and I'll give you a wage that's not a ripoff and that won't cheat you. And then he goes back out at 12 o'clock. And he finds other workers there at 12 o'clock. And he goes out again at 3 o'clock. And then finally he does something very strange. He goes out at 5 o'clock. That's called the 11th hour. And at 5 o'clock he doesn't really even say to these people, although my text said this, the most reliable Greek manuscripts don't say anything. He just says, go out and go work. He says, why are you standing idle? Why are you doing nothing? Go out and go work in the vineyard. And he doesn't even say, I'll pay you a fair wage. He just says, go and start to work in the vineyard for me. And they go out and work. And so we look at this calling of the workers, and we really see two groups of people. We see those who are working for the landowner by agreement and by contract. Those who know what they're going to be paid at the end of the day. Those who possibly would not have even engaged in the work unless they knew and were guaranteed the pay that they are going to receive. And then you see a second group of workers beginning from 9 o'clock through the end of the day who were simply working in faith, trusting in the nature of the owner and the operator of the vineyard. Now, I don't think that you really need any explanation about who the owner and the operator of the vineyard is. That's God. And the vineyard is God's field, God's kingdom. And the workers are you and I. They're all disciples. None of them are not disciples. They're all disciples. They're all working for the King. But there's really two different kind of disciples. There are those who are working with the expectation of payment, and there are those who are working and serving God by faith. The truth of the matter is, knowing the condition of a day labor in this day, that each one of them were being dealt to according to grace. Those who made the verbal agreement with the landowner were very fortunate to even have a job that day. They were lucky to be on the team. And you'll find out later that they didn't understand that. And you and I are lucky to be on the team. When God calls us into His kingdom, He gives us a job. In other words, He gives us a purpose. And there's nothing worse in this life than living without a purpose. There's nothing worse in this life than being like these workers, idle in the marketplace with no reason to live. I don't know if you can remember what it was like before you were saved, before God touched your heart and your life and changed you and gave you a purpose, but it's a miserable way to live because you're just drifting to and fro and you really don't know where you're going. You have no purpose in life. But when Christ comes into your life, He gives you a purpose. He gives you something to live for. He gives you something to look forward to beyond just this life. He gives you an eternity to look forward to, and you begin to live by purpose. His unique purpose for your life and His overall purpose for everybody that knows Him. And so you see here in the calling of the workers, the gift of purpose, and you see two different kinds of workers. Those who are working by faith, and you see those who are working in agreement with the fact that they're going to receive something for what they're doing. You'll see in just a minute that there are those that are happy to be on the team, and there are those who are expecting something for their labors. Which group are you in? Which group am I in? Well, it's revealed. It's revealed in the compensation of the workers. Look at verse 8. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to the steward, "Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first." And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. You see, these workers, these day laborers, were paid every evening. That was a law, even according to the Scripture. They had to be paid every day because that's how they live. They live from day to day, from hand to mouth. And so pay time came, 6 o'clock in the evening. It's time for them to draw their pay. And the steward, the owner did something very unusual. He told the steward to pay those who were hired at the 11th hour, those who had only worked for 1 hour in the field. He said, "I want you to pay them first." He reversed the order of pay. And he did that for a reason. That was so that the workers who had agreed to work by contract could observe those who had only worked for 1 hour and could see what they were paid. In other words, he did this so that they could compare themselves to those who had only worked 1 hour. And God, in His grace, like this steward, takes care and supplies all of our needs regardless of how long and how difficult our service to Him has been. In other words, God lavishes His grace upon all of His disciples. And that's the picture that we have here. They didn't deserve to be paid a full day's wage. They had only worked 1 hour. But the steward was concerned about them and he was concerned about their families, obviously. And so he paid them a full day's wage. And then those who had been working all day, seeing that the ones who had only worked 1 hour had been paid a full day's wage, they started conjuring up images in their mind about what they should be paid. Since these folks were paid a full day's wage and we've worked all day, we ought to be paid several days' wages. And they began to become probably excited. But then it came time for them to get paid. And what did they get paid? They just got paid a day's wage, the amount that they had agreed to be paid. They were expecting more, but their hearts were certainly filled with disappointment when they found that they were paid the same thing. And I believe there are many people today in the kingdom of God who are expecting more. And you know why they're expecting more? Because they're comparing themselves to other people in the church and in the kingdom of God. And they're seeing God deal graciously with others in the kingdom of God, and they're asking themselves the question, then why doesn't God even deal more graciously with me? I've been here longer. I've worked harder. I've earned my dues. This steward isn't fair.
God is unjust.
And the truth of the matter is, no, God's not unjust. God is gracious. God is gracious. And who's He gracious to? He's gracious to those who work for Him by faith. Not for those who work for Him saying, show me the money. I want the big contract. God, I want You to pay me back for everything that I've done. I can guarantee you that if you're here today and you're not living with the mindset of grace, but you're living with the mindset of merit, which says I ought to be paid back by God for every good thing that I do and all the service that I've rendered to Him, I'm going to tell you something today. You're a very disappointed disciple. You're unhappy. Because we're going to see here in just a minute that there's really two groups of people. There are happy people in the kingdom of God who are just happy to be here, happy to have a purpose. And then there are miserable people in the kingdom of God who are just as much disciples as the others, but they're comparing themselves with other Christians and they think that God is not just in their treatment of them. And that's what Jesus is trying to teach us in this parable. God's kingdom operates on grace, not merit. So are you one of these folks? Are you one of these workers that's working by contract? Well, here's what your life is like if you are. In verse 11, we see the complaint of the contract workers. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner. Now, who did we say the landowner is in the parable? The landowner is God. Imagine that, complaining against God. Do you think that sometimes we complain against God? Oh, all of us have lapses when we look at the circumstances of our life. I mean, look at Job. I mean, I think if you were Job, you'd probably complain to God. I would. I've complained to God for a lot less than what Job went through. But there are people that actually live their entire Christian life. They don't realize it because they really don't say anything against God. But what they do is complain about their circumstances as they look at how God treats other people. And they see what they're going through and what they have to endure and all the hard work that they've done. Yet they're still on the bottom and God seems to be blessing these other people. God gives a greater anointing to some than others, and God gives greater purpose to some than others, and we begin to compare ourselves, and new people come on the scene, people that hadn't paid their dues, people that hadn't gone through what we've gone through in this body, and all of a sudden they're being used. I mean, where's the fairness in that? And we begin to complain, and do you know who we're really complaining against? We're complaining against the one who's ultimately in charge. And who's the one that's ultimately in charge? God. Nothing happens without His permission. And yet there are many people today who fancy themselves good disciples of Jesus Christ who live in a state of constant anger with the landowner who's God. And we want to tell God how He ought to run His business. God, it's not fair. I mean, we believe the Word here. We stand on the Word of God. We really, genuinely try to worship You. We've gone through heck. And You bless the church down the street. I mean, what about us, Lord? And we believe God's not fair. What's wrong? What's wrong is we're working by merit and not by faith. We're saying, God, give us what we deserve. Listen, you don't want what you deserve. We don't want God's justice. Thank God that the kingdom of heaven is run by grace and not justice. We're lucky to be on the team. Amen. We're fortunate to have a purpose. But listen, if you're one of these workers, you're a complainer. You're a constant complainer. You're a malcontent. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. I've learned how to be poor. I've learned how to be rich. I've learned how to be hungry. I've learned how to be full. He said, I've learned in every situation that Christ is sufficient for me and I can be content. Now, he did say he had to learn that. He wasn't just born again and content. He had to learn it through the Christian life, but we need to learn it too. Because when we complain, we're complaining against the landowner, and that landowner is God. He's running this show. And then the basis of our complaint is comparison. Verse 12, these last men have worked only 1 hour and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. I don't know about you, but I can kind of identify with these guys, can't you? This is not a lesson on economics. Don't think that Jesus is teaching us how to run a business. If you run a business like this, you're going to go under. The kingdom of heaven is different than the kingdoms of this world. It's run by grace. That, by the way, is why we shouldn't run the church like a business. We need to run the church by grace, just like Jesus did. But the whole basis of complaint is by comparing our situation to someone else's situation. We always get into trouble when we begin to compare. If we're comparing our church to another church, we're going to get in trouble. You're either going to be puffed up with pride or you're going to complain against God because we're not as blessed as they are. When you compare yourself to someone else who has the same kind of gifting that you do, you're either going to be puffed up with pride or you're going to feel like you're being slighted because God has given them a greater share of the gift. Every time we begin to compare ourselves with someone else, the result is usually either pride or complaint against Almighty God. And it's so human to do. Peter, when you're old, you're going to be stretched out and led where you don't want to go. In other words, you're going to be crucified. And Peter says, well, what are you going to do with him? Pointing over to John. What about him, Lord? Jesus said, what if he tarries until I come? That's none of your business. You do what I've called you to do. You follow me. Martha. Lord, what about Mary over there? She's not doing a blasted thing. I'm doing all the work. Jesus says, she's actually chosen the better thing to do. Mind your own business. We compare ourselves to others, and when we compare ourselves to others, we begin to complain. And our complaining is really against God. And what we're really wanting God to do, what's at the very bottom of it really is, we want to say to God, God, stop blessing that person. I'm the one here that deserves to be blessed. Stop blessing them. That's really what we're saying. That's a wonderful Christian attitude, isn't it? Stop blessing them. Bless me! You see what we look like? We're so foolish sometimes. But all of us have been guilty. I've been guilty of this very thing. It's so human. We're complaining against God because we compare ourselves to others and the way that He's blessing them. Now, the owner corrects the worker, the complaining worker. Verse 13, but he answered one of them and he said, friend, he's so nice even when we're mean, isn't he? He says, friend, the same word that he used whenever Judas came into the garden with those who were going to arrest Jesus and take him to the cross. Jesus says to Judas, friend, he says, do what you're going to do. Even when we're unmerciful, God is merciful. When we're unkind, God is kind to us. He says, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? In other words, I've given you everything I promised that I was going to give you. And listen, that's true in the life of every person that knows Jesus Christ. He has kept every promise He's ever made to you. You can never prove that He's failed you in any way. Because God does what He says He's going to do. Does He bless everybody the same? No. But He didn't say, I'm going to bless you all the same. He said, I'll meet your needs. You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I'll meet your needs. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'll meet your needs, but I can bless people according to the way I want to bless people. And that's what He says next. You see, that's the problem. The problem is we think that God is not fair. He's more than fair. He's merciful. He said, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. I'm not being unjust with you. Did you not agree with me for a denarius?" Listen, if you have that merit, that earned blessing mindset, I believe that God will bless you, but your blessings are going to be very slim. He's waiting to bless someone who is thankful and someone who is living by faith. Those are the people He wants to pour His blessings into. Not complainers. Not the selfish. You'll have a little trickle of His blessing just because you're one of His followers. But He'll really pour it out on those who are grateful and thankful. "Well, they didn't serve as long as I did." Doesn't matter. They're grateful and thankful. "They didn't go through all the hard knocks that I went through." Doesn't matter. They're grateful and thankful. When God came to them, even though it was in the 11th hour, they said yes and they took advantage of the opportunity that God had placed before them. It's not a competition. It's not based upon merit. It's based upon grace. And He wants to pour His grace out on those who live by faith. Those who trust in Him, not those who live by merit. And so He said, the first problem is you're saying, "I didn't give you what I said I was going to give you, and I did." And then He says, "Take what is yours." Literally, it means pick up what is yours. There's a picture here of the servant being so angry with the owner that he took the money and probably threw it down on the ground. And so He says, "You pick up what I gave you and get out of here." He says, "I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things?" In other words, God says, "Don't tell me what to do with my grace." God says, "Don't tell me how to run my business." Isaiah and Paul both say, does the clay answer back to the potter and say, "Why have you made me like this?" Isn't that ridiculous? That's what it's like when we complain against God and His grace. And the Lord said, here's the problem. The problem is not that I'm unfair. Verse 15, He said, here's the problem. Or is your eye evil because I am good? He said, the problem is not that I am unjust. The problem is that I am gracious and you are jealous because I am gracious. In other words, when we're complaining Christians, when we don't want to see other people, other churches, other groups blessed with a greater anointing, with greater material things, with whatever God's blessing is, whenever that just burns us up inside and we begin to complain, and maybe even we talk bad about that person because really at the heart of it we're jealous of that person, God says the problem is not with me, the problem is not with them, the problem is with you. And that's what Jesus meant by this parable. What kind of worker are you? Are you saying, "Show me the money"? Or are you saying, "Lord, I'm just happy to be a part of the team"? Jesus said, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Father, I pray that Your Word will take effect on the hearts of Your people. It's hard sometimes to see ourselves the way that we really are. And God, very often we don't want to admit it, and so we go on just the same way, the same kind of complaining, evil, wicked servant that we saw in the parable here this morning, because we're too proud to humble ourselves before You and actually let You do a work of grace in our lives. I pray, God, that Your Word would not fall to the ground, but that Your Word would penetrate the hearts of Your people, Your church, whom You love. Help us to be happy and thankful disciples. Help us not to live by merit, thinking that we've earned anything before You. Lord, I thank You that You don't deal with us according to justice. If that were true, we'd all go to hell and all of our works would be unacceptable before You. And so, Father, I pray that Your Word would not return void. In Jesus' name, amen.